Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here for Happy Hour with Dr. T. We gather here two nights a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We share a beverage, chat a few minutes, invite on an amazing guest, share a word from God, have a little bit of Bible study, and then pray together, because whenever two or more gather together, Jesus is right here listening. So how cool is that? So before I introduce my guest tonight for Happy Hour, I want to say a word about this week's sponsor. In fact, it's this month's sponsor, which is Mike Lindell and MyPillow. I mean, Mike Lindell has been cancel cultured by almost everybody across the internet and in big box stores. And of course, it's holiday season. And with people that are in big retail, it's the time of year that they make their money. And so he's reached out to a lot of people that have platforms, you know, a lot of people, including me. And I've met Mike several times. I'm very happy to support him and his business because of what he's doing for America. He's got great deals that are going on right now in the MyPillow.com shopping area. In fact, there are over 200 products that are in his stores. So if you're not in the mood or in the line to buy a pillow, you can get a doggy bed, you can get slippers, you can get sheets, you can get towels. In fact, I use all of those things. I really do. I love the towels. They're super absorbent and it's not all hype. They really are as great as they say they are. And one of the favorite things, he's got a special deal going on right now for Christmas, are these little pillowcases for children that have Bible stories on them. And I just think they are such a cool thing for your kids or your grandkids to get these Bible stories, and such a nice way to talk about the Bible and share some stories before you put your kids to bed at night, before you make sure that you say their prayers. So if you go to mypillow.com, I know there's a lot of, Mike has a lot of affiliates, but if you use our affiliate code, which is Dr. T, D-R-T, the affiliate code D-R-T, that helps Mike, that helps us, and it gives everybody that you buy presents for a Merry Christmas. So with that, let me introduce to you tonight's special guest, Dr. Eric Napudi. Dr. Eric Napudi was born and raised on a working farm in a very small town in central Illinois. Eric often jokes that there were more pigs on the farm than there were people in the town, and I've heard him say that more than once. As a young boy, Dr. Eric was fascinated by the human body and athletics. It was an injury that he suffered while playing college football that led him to a life of chiropractic and wellness care. Since that time, Dr. Eric Napudi has become a sought-after speaker, author, and physician. His unique approach to health and wellness has led him to grow one of the largest health and wellness organizations in the country, and he continues to amaze me. He's just still wet behind the ears. He's still just a youngster. You'd think he was 90 years old for all the things he's actually doing. And he calls me all the time and says, "Hey, Sherry, I got another thing I want you to be involved with." I don't have as much lateral capacity as he does, but I'm always happy to hook my wagon to his pony. So he owns and operates 12 facilities, manages or affiliates with another 32 offices. How do you split yourself in 32 ways, Eric? But the very best thing about Eric Napudi is his faith in God, his love in Jesus, and the fact that I am so proud to call him as one of my very dearest friends. Eric, thank you for joining us tonight with Happy Hour with Dr. T.
Sherry, I love and appreciate you more than you know. I know I've said this before, but I want you to know that I truly believe that I would not be where I am in my life right now if I didn't get introduced to the work that you did probably 15 years ago. So I'm humbled, I'm honored, and I love you more than you know. So happy to be with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Eric, we've had some pretty tragic things that have happened this week, you know, and amongst friends of ours, you know, Joni Lamb, all of Eric and me and all of us-ins that, you know, that are standing out loudly talking about the problems with these biotechnology shots and the problems with the myth of the mask and the fraud of the testing and all those things. And Joni Lamb, you know, lost her husband. The funeral was yesterday. And then Dr. Judy Mikovits, who's another really good friend of ours, lost her husband. You know, God rest his soul. You know, David was in his 80s and has been failing for a while, but still there's nothing like losing a spouse. Having lost my spouse almost 8 years ago now, there's just not anything like it. I'm not even sure losing a child is the same. So we've got these things that have been going on. And, you know, Eric and I were talking about before we went live here a little bit about how these losses right now and in this point in time, and right around Christmas and all the things that are happening in this part of the year kind of have moved us in different ways. Eric, talk a little bit about how you've been feeling about all of this stuff.
Well, I mean, when it hits you personally with friends and family and people, you know, it's a different feeling. I mean, I hate to say this, but you know, a lot of doctors, because of the reality of the people we deal with, sometimes we get used to people getting sick and passing. I hate to say it, but it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen so much data over the last couple of months that's shown that, you know, all cause mortality is up around the world, 20 to 25%. I've seen these things. I, it may be less, it may be more. Irregardless, people are dying more than they had in 2021 than they did in 2020. And not from COVID, from a lot of other things. And so, you know, to me, it's an interesting time. And, you know, we're talking about the Bible, you know, we're talking happy hour with you. And to me, I'm trying to understand as a human being, right? Because that's the one thing that is a flaw with all of us. Still, we're humans, right? And my human in me goes, what's going on? And when I start to feel doom and gloom and sad and, you know, hey, is this really something devilish getting into our head, thinking bad thoughts, I just pull my Bible out and start reading, and it fills me up with the right things. And it's the word, because if we can't stand on the word, Sherry, I don't know what else we can stand on. And as far as my simple little mind works, you know, everything that's in that Bible is true. God put that there for us to have. Just like when I hit that switch on that light switch, those lights turn on, everything that's on that's in that Bible is word to me. So I go back and I look and say, all right, what's going on now? Are we in the end times? Are we seeing rapture? Are we seeing tribulation? What are we seeing? You know, and so, you know, I've been pretty sad the past couple, not, I won't say pretty sad. I have about allow myself to have what I call 30-second pity parties, where I'll get sad for a while. And then it's like, you know what? It's time to move on. And I'll tell you what really helped me with this was one of my main mentors that got me on the path of chiropractic nutrition and et cetera, had a really scary bout with his health about 3 months ago, 2.5-3 months ago. And he came out of it and it was not good. He's in his 80s and it didn't look good. He had a lot of health issues going on. And I talked to him afterwards and I said, what is it? What did you learn? I mean, I'm always trying to ask people, what did you get out of this experience? And we had a real conversation. He said, you know, I had a real conversation with God. And I said, all right, God, if you're ready to take me home and you're ready for me to go, I'm ready. Let's do this. But if not, I'm ready to go back to work. And as soon as he goes, as soon as I had that conversation, it was like, bang, time to go back to work. Because see, he was 80. And still is, by the way, 80, and was semi-retired, was in that transition of his life. He'd been a doctor for 50 years, still doing some consulting and talking with people, but not like on the level that he's ready to go back into practice. I mean, that's what this guy said to me. He goes, to me, when you're on this earth, you're either serving here or you're serving there. And God wasn't ready for me to go there and serve. And so he kept me here. And so my mind is, okay, I'm a human. Suffering is real. It's part of the human experience. But the reality is this. It's time to get back to work and serve. And I believe that we all have a divine providence. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a fry cook at Mickey D's, a stay-at-home mom or dad. It doesn't matter. Everybody has a divine providence. And once they understand what that is and live into that, it's the way to help people on a level that you can't even imagine. And that's what is filling for me. And I know that fulfills you too, Sherry, because I mean, I watch you work. You put in more time, energy, and effort than I could even imagine. And people have no idea. And I put in a lot of time, energy, effort, and work too, but not, I mean, Sherry, you could, in some things you do, you could lap me. There's no question about it. And I tell people
lap
that.
You?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, some of the things that I'm doing, I'm going to run circles around most people, but so many things that you bring to this planet is such a blessing. And it's because I believe you're working in your divine providence. You truly are what a doctor epitomized to be. Is a doctor is a teacher. You teach. And so, you know, I know I'm rambling, but I just really want to get this point across that when you understand that, you know, suffering is real, nobody escapes life without dying and suffering. And, you know, that's part of the process. And the tough days make the better days better. And it's all about being present. And so I will just say that one thing that I'm really working on is when I hear about people that are suffering and having passing and me being sad about people in my life, instead of just grinding on it and grueling on it, I think about the things and experiences I had with these individuals that made me joyful, the lessons I've learned. And then I realized it's time to get back to work. And that's how, that's just me, Sherry. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just how I roll, if you will.
Well, I think that's really beautiful. And I think that right now is a good time to talk about this because, you know, we are less than what, 20, we're 3 weeks out from Christmas Day. And Christmas season, you know, it's a challenging time to lose a loved one, you know, any day, any day of the year. But the holiday season, it has a particular sting to it. You know, it's different because of the get-togethers and memories and, you know, things like that. And sometimes holiday seasons are miserable for, you know, if you've got horrible family memories, but sometimes it's just, you know, it's a good time. And then suddenly you get everybody together and then there's that empty chair. And so I think that right now, I think is probably a good time to tell, because there have been so many deaths this year, Eric. I mean, what VAERS is over 20,000 deaths now. I mean, the European database is over 57,000. And those are the ones we know about. And those are the ones that they're attributing to the vaccine. You know, there's all the other, that's, you know, that's maybe 1% of the actual numbers. There's all the people that have died in nursing homes. They called it from old age when it was really after they got the shot. There are people that were sickened in the hospital with heart attacks and strokes and blood clots and lung disorders, and remdesivir killed people from their kidneys. And so it's getting to the point, you know, maybe 15 years ago, we could say there was hardly a person that didn't know someone with autism or know someone that had a child with autism. And now we're only 1 year into this travesty, this tyranny. And we can almost say that probably everybody knows someone that's died from this, whether it's from the shot, whether it's from medical malpractice, whether it's from bad treatments, whether it really is the small percentage of people who actually really did die from this infection. We've got a lot of that. And I think that it's what you just described is a very healthy way to help try to deal with your grief. You know, as you have those that you actually set aside time during your day, instead of keeping it all bottled up all the time and trying to hold it together for everybody, including you, you set a time, set aside a time once or twice, either once or twice a day in the morning or at night or before you go to bed, and you let her rip. I mean, you either journal, you cry, if you are downstairs, you exercise, if you have a punching bag. When I was a kid and I was mad, I used to take a rolled up pair of socks out of my drawer and throw them at my bed, close the door and throw them at my bedroom door. I mean, whatever it takes to let out your feelings of sadness and loneliness and anger and upset and loss and grief and all of those things, and just let all of it flow for maybe a half an hour. Yeah. And then at that period of time, take a deep breath, go get a glass of cold water, splash some cold water on your face, you know, maybe stretch a little bit, take a few deep breaths and say, okay, that was my grief moment for the day. That was the moment. And now it's time to walk out this door and, or go to bed and go to sleep or whichever your time of day is, but schedule it and take it and participate in it, because that is a way that you can help dissipate the feelings and help to the grief process. Cause you know, Eric, the grief process has a mind of its own. It's not linear, you know, it's up and down. And sometimes you think you're better and then you're back in the pit again. But as long as you're making progress forward along that line, it's all that matters. But it can be like with me. I mean, you know, my husband died, it'll be 8 years in January. And every once in a while, even now, you know, you'll hear a song or something will happen and all those feelings will come back. It's very short. It's not nearly like it was after he first passed. But, you know, grief, you know, when you lose somebody that you really love, you know, people say time heals all wounds and you'll get over it. Well, no, that's really not true. What happens is time dissipates the intensity of the loss, but the loss is always with you. It's like your shadow. It's always there. It's just, you don't pay attention to your shadow most of the time. you paid a whole lot more attention to it at the beginning, but it, in, and when I, from Kevin's wake, when one of my best friends was there and she came over to me and she said, you know, it'll get better with time. I thought I was going to knock her teeth down her throat. I really did. That feeling of, what do you mean? And I was so angry and I had so much grief and so much things, but guess what? She was right.
Yeah.
It does get better with time.
And Sherry, to that point, what's so amazing is that's just one thing that we do a, pardon my French, but a really piss poor job educating each other on how do we communicate to people during that grieving process? Because I don't know if you know this, doctor, but everybody dies. Did you know that? Like, it happens. I heard that. I read it in
a book. Newsflash.
Yeah. So like, we all have to deal with that, but we're not really educated on it. So there's awkward feelings. Some people feel awkward going to things that, you know, it's, and that's not okay either. If we could just celebrate and have real conversations about it. You know, one of the most interesting celebrations of life that I ever went to was another one of my mentors, and he passed about 12 years ago, and he was a larger than life kind of a guy. And we had a party. He wanted a party. He's like, ain't nobody going to be crying. Only thing you'll be crying is when the beer's gone. I mean, it was, you know, and that's how he lived his life. And he actually, what he did to not make it awkward was he said, look, here's what's going to happen. These 12 people that are going to be up here, these are my 12 disciples, and I was one of them, and you all got to tell a dirty joke. I don't care what it is. It's got to be dirty, because he wanted to change the, and it was such a amazing thing. I still have his memorial card on my desk up there, because it was one of the most unique things I'd ever experienced. And quite honestly, Sherry, it's the way that I was like, that's how I think it should be. It wasn't just sad grief. It was like, you know, it was a beginning, a middle, and an end of this part, but then now a beginning of something amazing. So anyway,
it's so true. It's kind of a cultural thing, I think, in Americans and maybe North Americans too, but there's lots of cultures around the world that mourn a birth and think about all the things this child is going to have to go to. Like if your child is being born now, oh my, you know, I mean, think about the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years with your child now. So there are cultures that literally mourn a birth and celebrate a death, because this person made it all the way to the end of their life, and they had ups and downs and successes and failures and good and bad things. And, you know, like your buddy who said you wanted to tell a dirty joke, you know, that's what like good old fashioned Irish wakes are about, right? That they all sit around and instead of telling all these sad stories, in fact, when Kevin died, we had kind of a wake thing, because when we actually had his service, that everybody who wanted to could come up and tell a funny story about Kevin. And I mean, I'm telling you, some of them were just hysterical. Some of them I had no idea about. And it's a funny thing that we have in our culture. And I think that part of it, sadly, is that that the number of people, you know, our culture used to be pretty uniformly Christian. And now even people that say they're Christian are like Christians by name only. They really don't understand that when your person dies, you really, if they really are a Christian and they really know the Lord, you really should be celebrating their death. And what you're mourning and sad about is you're still here. Exactly. I mean, you can sit around and cry and be sad and upset, not because they're gone, but because, damn it, you're still here, right?
Right, yeah. You're right. You are so right. It's not even funny. I had that, I don't want to say epiphany, but re-epiphany, if you will, of that same thing. You know, I'm not mad that they're gone. I'm actually kind of pissed that I'm still here dealing with this stuff. You know, exactly. I was sitting on my front porch. This is a couple months ago. It was summertime, into summer. And it was a beautiful Missouri summer night, hot, storms coming through. I'm reading. I like to read, write, and audiobook at the same time. My brain works when it's going. I know it's weird. But anyway, I heard the biggest crack of thunder I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, deep in the word, plus listening to this Bible stuff, plus writing down some things that I want to do to help, you know, perpetuate the kingdom. And I heard the biggest crack, boom. And I thought, I literally jumped up and I thought that eastern sky was cracking open. And I was so hopeful. I was so disappointed, Sherry, when there was no dang horse coming down there with the spirit. I was like, son of a gun, I got to get up and do this crap again. Okay, it's fine. But That's a true story. That really happened to me. In fact, I bet I got it on my security camera somewhere, but I thought for sure Jesus was coming and we was about to have this fight and it was all over and didn't happen. So anyway,
It's real. That's funny. And it is true. You know, I mean, honestly, there've been many times in my mind like you started out by saying that, you know, I've seen a lot of death as an emergency medicine doctor. I mean, I've been seeing, you know, all kinds of things. And so a lot of people have died, including children. And when the older people have died, you know, a lot of times inside myself, I go, God rest their soul. They're lucky. They're, you know, God bless them. You know, it's a good thing that this happened to them. They're out of their suffering. If they had cancer, if they had heart disease or end stage diabetes, whatever they had, I mean, God bless that they no longer have to be stuck in this physical thing, that they can go on into their spiritual world. So maybe we just by sharing this a little bit and kind of laughing about it a little bit and telling some stories that some of the people who are listening to this or who will listen to this in a follow-up who've lost somebody, maybe we'll have a little different parameter about it and not be so bound up with, oh, they're not here. And thank God. You know, thank God that they've gone into something better. You spend that 30 minutes a day in your grief journal or yelling or screaming, then spend 30 minutes a day thinking about that person and all the wonderful experiences you had with them in your life. You know, the trips you went on, the previous Christmases that were just awesome. And just, you know, there are ways that you move through it. The other thing, the friend of mine who said at Kevin's wake, you know, this too will pass in time. It will get better. The other thing she said to me that over the course of the next 3 years that I was processing all of this stuff, which was really true. And I think people, if you're hearing this and it applies to you, really listen to this. It's something you just have to slog through. You can't delegate it. You can't pretend it didn't exist. You really have to pretend that you're walking through waist deep quicksand and you just have to slog through it. And some days are better than others, and be gentle with yourself, forgive yourself on those days that you have bad days. And you just have to slog on. You can't delegate it. Nobody else can process it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. But over time, the grief process does get better. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller footprint in your life. And some people do that more quickly than others. But the other thing that I said when Kevin died was, I'm going to do this in my own way, on my own timeline. And I think that's important too, because everybody's like, what do you mean? It's been 6 months. Aren't you over it yet? Smack. No, as a matter of fact, I'm not. Thank you very much for asking, you know? So I think that that's really, really important.
I agree with you 100%. I really do.
So yeah. Before we move on to something else we wanted to talk about tonight, anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, I just think that if we just sit back and reflect on what it really means to be a human, we just need to enjoy our experiences. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything that comes with it. One thing I do know about everyone that's watching right now, everyone, including you and me, you know, all those days that we thought we weren't going to make it, when the shoes dropped and the bad things happened, everybody needs to look back and go, you're 100% successful at getting through those days. You made it. And that's really a powerful thing to think about, is you got through some bad times, you go and get through the better ones. And you can get through some other bad ones. You know, I remember, you know, I used to pray, and I still do. I pray for strength a lot. You got to be careful praying for strength, because God will give you challenges to be strong through. I remember I was praying for knowledge and wisdom, and he gave me so many obstacles and opportunities to try to figure things out. Now you just got to be real careful what you ask for, because you get it. I remember sitting in my very first office 20 years ago, Sherry, sitting there just praying. Okay, God, I hung my shingle on the door. Okay, God, I know I want to help them. God, you send them, I'll serve them. And I visualized all these people coming through. And then I remember a couple years later thinking how busy and crazy. And I didn't always, you know, I used to have beautiful, long, curly hair. I didn't have this belly and all this. And I remember sitting there laughing. I giggled, because it was like my spirit said, remember, son, you asked for this. And I gave it to you. Yes, sir. I got you. So, yeah.
So you wanted to talk about, You yes. wanted to talk about Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 24, which is about yeah. Gideon.
Yeah.
And so obviously Gideon, I mean, it wasn't really the story of Gideon's army. It was a story about Gideon himself being the youngest in his family and all of that sort of stuff. Do you want to read that and talk yeah. to us yeah, about yeah, yeah, that no, a little bit? I'll about read
of it and let's talk, because to me, you know, this story is so applicable to so many people right now and all of us as a collective. Let me read it and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So Judges 6, 11 through 24, the call of Gideon. Just think about the call of Gideon. So now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which belongs to Joash, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the wine press to hide it from the rest of the people. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you." Now I'm going to say that again. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Just think about that for a minute. We're going to come back to that. And Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord." And he probably said it like I did. "Please, Lord. Okay. Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of man." And the Lord turned to him and said, Go into this might of yours and save Israel. Go save Israel from the hands of man. Do not I send you to fail?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord." Okay, go ahead. "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? How can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest of the land, and I am the least in my father's house. Who am I? I'm nobody," is what Gideon's saying. "I'm nobody." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you. Whew. And you shall strike down as one man." And he said to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes," this is what Gideon says, "then show me a sign." I love all the people in the Bible are always testing God. And I'm just as bad as, "Okay, God, just give me one sign, right? And I'll do it." He says, "Show me a sign that this is you who is speaking to me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay until you return." So Gideon went to his house and prepared the young goat and the unleavened cakes to bring as an offering. The meat he put in a basket, and he brought the pot as well, and brought him under the terebinth tree and presented it to him. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes, put them on the rocks, pour the broth over them." And so he did. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that he had and handed it and touched it to the tip of the meat and the unleavened cake. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cake. And the angel of the Lord vanished at that moment from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it still stands in the town that he was in. So, Sherry, to me, this is such, and I resonate with this really, really heavily, because I think we've all had that moment where we got to make a decision. I've read your books, God. I've gone to church. I've followed you. I've listened to you. I hear what the elders say. I want to believe, God, that you're pulling me in this direction to serve this purpose, to do this thing. Gideon, who was the least of these, was told to go save Israel, which Israel, when we're talking about it, he just got told to go save God's people is what he got told to do. Well, you're God's people. I'm God's people. The people who love God are God's people. So Gideon, who is the least of these, I always tell people, man, I'm just the son of a pig farmer. I'm the least of these, right? I am. And so are you. Well, you're not son of a pig farmer, but we're all that humble beginning. Do you know what I'm saying? And so many of us are looking for that. Like I never had the Spirit of the Lord come down with his staff and start a fire on a rock. If he did, I'd probably be screaming a little bit louder than I am right now. But I think I'm yelling pretty loud because you know, this message to me is so powerful for this time right now. And whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, or whatever, like I said before, every one of us has an opportunity to save God's people, even if it's just us, God's people, that we're saving ourselves. I don't know if that makes sense or not, Sherry, but to me, this is the precursor to Gideon's army. This is when God said, okay, Gideon, I'm about to use you to do some big stuff. And Gideon goes, you talking to somebody behind me? Because I'm nobody. And so many people feel that they're nobody, but every one of us are equal. God is no respecter of persons, not one. Listen, I don't care if you're Eric Napoutie, Sherry Tenpenny, or if you're anybody else, God is no respect. He can use you to do anything. If he can use me, he can definitely use anybody. And so that's what this story to me resonates with. There's so many people right now that are really having that Gideon moment in their life. They got that feeling. They got that stirring. They got that calling. Like, I want to say something, but I don't want to offend someone. I want to do this, but I just don't know. But that feeling and stirring inside you, that's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit that God gave us. Do not depart away from that. That is the thing. And so to me, Sherry, this is just one of those Bible verses that I've been really hanging on for a while. And when I think, you know, if I flipped over and I showed you my whiteboard, it's a 8-foot by 4-foot whiteboard that's got so much stuff on it. That's just what I need to do this week. And I'm like, who am I to get that done? You know who I am? I'm Gideon. And so are you. So I just tell myself that again and again and again. And that's one of the things, Sherry, that just keeps me going on a daily basis.
I think that's so inspirational, Eric, because so you and I have talked about this a lot over the course of the last 2 years, that how frustrating it is when people use the expression, yeah, people are starting to wake up. It's like, starting to wake up? How deep was their coma? Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, were they like breaths away from death? Their coma was so deep. What do you mean starting to wake up? Were they not paying attention to anything in the last 2 years? And as you find out and you start talking to more people, yeah, they weren't paying attention to anything in the last 2 years, which is just blows my brain, but it happens. And I did an interview for my podcaster today with my really good friend, Christian Osch, who lives in Switzerland. And we were talking about what was it like, boots on the ground, you know, literally in Europe, watching all of these protests and all of that. Yeah. And I asked him, one of the questions I asked him was, did he think that the protests, because there's thousands and thousands of people in the streets and in Austria and Belgium and Germany and Amsterdam and all these places, did he think it was making a difference? And one of the takeaways that he said, he cited several things, but the one that stuck with me was, you know, Switzerland's kind of a quiet little country. It's more socialist than what people think. You know, people don't want to like rock the boat in any way. They just kind of want to do their thing. But there are hundreds, if not thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people marching in the streets, standing up for their rights. And these are people that are never so much as raised their voice their entire life. And to me, that it just gives me chills just thinking about it, because it's so inspirational to think that, you know, people are beginning to see that if they don't do something, the least of them, like you said, Gideon was like, I'm the youngest kid in the family. I have nothing. Me? Why me? Because the Holy Spirit chose you And you don't have to have a platform like you have, Eric, or like I have, or, you know, some of our colleagues have. The most important platform you have, in my opinion, is what you do around your dining room table at night with your family. What you do with your your colleagues at work. What you do with the people you work out with at the gym. It's one-on-one. Tell them about the gospel. Tell them about forgiveness of God. Tell them about that whatever they do, they can get, you know, no matter how bad it was, they can repent and be forgiven and be into the house of the Lord. Tell them that they got to stand up for our rights, because once they're gone, we're never getting them back. All of those little messages, just to a stranger sitting next to you on the train going into work in the morning, is so important.
Sherry, I got to tell you, you're so right. And most people don't know this about me. You do, because you've been around me enough, but I'm really, by nature, I'm super duper introverted. Like, I just don't small talk. I don't hang out with people. I'm socially awkward. That's just me. Like, I love talking to you because we can talk, right? And other people that have the same beliefs, we can talk. But I've actually been stretching myself out of my own comfort zone. Literally, like, if I walk by somebody and I'm at the grocery store, I'm like striking up a conversation. Hey, how are you doing today? And within seconds, it's like, it's almost like, Sherry, I don't want to sound like some weird guy, but it's true. Hey, can I pray for you? Like, literally, people are like, you know what? Yeah, I really need somebody to pray with me. I'm like, I'm not that guy. My 40 plus years of existence on this planet, I've never been that guy. But it's like right now that spirit is so high, and God says, it's almost like when Gideon says, okay, Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to test you. Let me go get some pork chops and some eggs, and let's see if you can cook it with your stick on a rock. Okay, let's see if you do. But see, it's almost like God is testing us. And he says, okay, Eric, you're a Christian. You believe in me. Well, I'm going to let your spirit know that person's hurting. Do you have the cojones to go and talk to that person? Are you willing to say, hey, how you doing? I hope you have a great day. And if nothing else comes out of it, you just bless that person, because you might have been the only positive encounter that person had that day. Or would you even go a second step and go, you know what? I don't want to sound like a weirdo, but you doing all right? Everything okay? I just kind of feel like you might need to be prayed with or prayed for. Can I just pray for you for a second and then leave? And that to me has been such a stretch out of my comfort zone, because that's just not what I do. But I've just had God just feeling that heavy, heavy, heavy on me, going, I want you to talk about me more. And God told me this. I mean, and it's not like there was a burning bush, Sherry, that, oh, God said, thou, my son who art in St. Louis, Missouri, I want you to do this. That's not what happened. But what happened was this, God said, look, I'm gonna guide you. I'm gonna show you where to go. Just pray ceaselessly. If you have a question, just ask me and I'll answer. I'm gonna give it to you, not in the form of like, here's the cliff notes of how to fix this problem, but I'm gonna connect you with the right people and the right opportunities. But the minute that you make this about you and not about me, we're done. Because it's not about you, it's about me, it's what's about God. And to me, this story about Gideon, like, that something stirs in me, because I think a lot of people feel that way. They get their Gideon moments. People hear about their Esther moments all the time, but I'm talking about a Gideon moment. How many of you right now have that Gideon calling in your life? And you could be that person that breaks the cycle of generational curses in your life, of poverty, of depression, of oppression, of all this stuff. You can break it like that, just making a decision and praying about it and then following through with doing the right work. So yeah, Sherry, it's exciting times for me. And I know a lot of people as well.
Wow. That is really powerful, Eric. You know, that's really, really powerful. And you're right. I mean, even if you don't feel pushed enough or confident enough to say, hey, can I pray with you? Just saying to somebody, hey, you know, this last week, I've been out and about, I had a bunch of errands to do. And every place I went, like, I was at the bank today, I had to make a couple deposits. It was at a different bank than I usually go to, a different branch. And the guy was so nice. And I said, you've been just so delightfully nice to me. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day and have a really blessed Merry Christmas. And he looked at me like I'd just given him $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because yeah. We always judge, we say snarky things. Or, you know, and there's this basic thing in marketing. If you've had a bad experience, you tell 9 people. If you have a good experience, you tell 1. Right. And we are always complaining, oh, that person didn't serve me right, or I stood in line for too long, or this, that. But when somebody does something, do we really go out of our way for just a minute and bless them with just your words? You know, God bless, have a wonderful Christmas. I was in Tampa this weekend and did a lot of Uber riding down there. And yeah. Every Uber that I got out of it was like, hey, that was a great ride. I really thank you a lot. Be safe out there and God bless, have a Merry Christmas. And they were like, nobody says that.
And doesn't that, not only does that help that person, because words have power. Like people right. forget that. They forget, like, when someone says, I'm going to curse you, that's like a curse. But if someone says, I want to bless you, God bless you, that's a powerful thing. And what that also does is that helps your spirit grow. That's flexing your Jesus muscle. That's all there is to it. And the more you work that out, the more confident you can be about it. You know, people ask me about my religion, and I say, well, I was baptized Catholic, raised Lutheran. Now I go to non-denominational church. So I'm just confusion is my background, is my religion. You know, I'm not a religion. I have a relationship with God. And I was like, you know, when Jesus taught us how to pray, you know, and when he taught us how to pray, that was how they spoke in that time. And so I didn't really know how to pray. And all praying is having a conversation. That's all it is. Like, all I want now that I'm a father, I understand that now. All I really want from my kids is just to talk to them a little bit. I don't need them all the time. I just need them to know that I'm there for them and I want the best for them. And that, by the way, my kids don't have to worry about stuff because dad paid the price. Well, my dad did that too. Like, I don't have to pay the price. Jesus did it. Like, I don't have to suffer. It's over. I know how this book ends. The devil gets smashed, like, under the heel. Like, I know how it ends. And what's so powerful, I just want everybody just to grab this, and please hold on to this real quick, because this is a powerful thing. Remember these two things. It says in the Bible that it says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It doesn't say they're not going to form. And those weapons, when they form, you know what they do? They help you build your Jesus muscle. And the other big thing that people need to remember is the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy like a roaring lion, and he devours those that he can destroy. And one of the things that makes the devil so mad is when you are in Christ, he can't touch you. And that ticks that booger off so bad, it's not even funny. Devil comes to me, I'm like, not today, dude. Don't you know I'm covered in the blood of Jesus? And they're like, yeah, we know that. But there are people in your life that aren't, and we're going to try to get them to cause suffering to you. And that's why I've been speaking more about this. And can I tell you one more thing? And this is really a big thing to me. So a huge blessing that came out of COVID, I pulled my kids out of all public schools, right? And my son has always gone to a public Catholic school. He goes there to play sports. It just is what it is, but it worked out pretty good. And my 8-year-old little girl, we got her in a Christian elementary school now. And I got to tell you, I'm hearing more from God through her than I am from anywhere else out there. She said to me the other day, she said, Dad, we were just talking. She says, Dad, you know, I know a lot of people are sad right now and they're just really hurting. He goes, she said, you know, they just don't know Jesus the way that we do. And I was like, what? An 8-year-old said that to me. And we were talking about sicknesses and disease. We were talking about vitamins, and I've got her taking her vitamin sprays and all of her stuff. And she goes, Dad, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. And I'm like, I know you are. I said, well, we still have to have good stewardship over our body. But she goes, Dad, I'm not worried about anything. She goes, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm like, man, it took me 40 years to figure that out, you know? So anyway, I don't know why I told you that. Maybe there's somebody listening that needed to hear that story about their kids. But you know, this whole story about Gideon is, so many people have had that Gideon call on their life, and they're getting it again and again and again and again. And maybe that's why you listening right now, maybe you lost your job this year because you decided to stand on your laurels and not get this shot. That's your Gideon moment. Maybe you decided that, you know what, I'm not going to associate with these people right now because I need to live a different life. That's your Gideon moment. You got to save Israel, and Israel is God's people. And every one of us has an opportunity to do that. And I agree with what you said, Sherry, about it starts around our dinner table at the gym or whatever, but it also starts about the 6 to 8 inches between your ears, and protect your mind, speak well of yourself, and every day is a new day. And just, man, I'm telling you, you know, I learned a long time ago, I used to be a big Tony Robbins follower back in the day. And he said, get up every morning and do an hour of power, read the Bible, meditate, pray, eat well, do a ice bath plunge. I'm like, who's got an hour in the morning? But you know what I got? I got a shower of power, because I'm pretty clean. I take a shower every morning. I highly suggest it to most people. And in the shower every morning, I got the right music playing. I'm speaking good positive words to myself. I have the glass windows. So I write like in the steam, I write like my goals for the day. My shower of power has been like, it's like my thing that sets my day right. And it helps me get my head right around God for the morning and know that today is a great day because I get an opportunity to serve humanity because God gave me that chance, because I feel like I took my Gideon moment, at least the one I was presented with already, and I've walked with it and it's paid off. So I would encourage
you. That's really beautiful, Eric. And you know, I think that just as an add-on to that, we have to realize we don't have a Gideon moment.
No,
we have a Gideon moment every morning that we wake up. Yep. You know, like my day starts like this. You know how hard I work and that my 7 days a week just all run together, right? No, I go to bed at between 1 and 2, and you know, you generally wake up around 7. I don't always get up till around 8, but I wake up around 7. So my alarm goes off and I spend the first 3 to 5 minutes trying to figure out what day of the week it is, you know. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating. So I'm like this morning, it's like, let me see. Okay, it must be Tuesday because I was in the office yesterday. So, you know, I mean, you have your little real, okay. So then I roll back, my dog's laying next to me. So little Tegan's over there. I pet Tegan. I stretch a little bit, stretch my legs. Okay, Lord, everything, all the parts seem to be moving. So that means I'm still on this side of the grass.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, and I'm awake today. And so that means I got another day to serve. And please forgive me for every sin that I committed yesterday that I forgot that I did. And please forgive me for the things that errors of commission and errors of omission. And please wipe the slate clean again and set everything, reset, push the reset button and push me back in the right place with you, Lord. And Lord, I know you play four-dimensional chess. I mean, you know, the alpha and the mega, the beginning and the end, you know, all the players and where they are. Just put me on the right square on the chessboard where you need me today. Because tomorrow it might be different. Where is the place that I can make the most impact? And where do you want me to be today in relationship to whatever the global picture is? Because I kind of play on that playing field, right? And then, you know, I fiddle around with my phone and I look at my morning text messages and I got a silly little game on my phone. I play every morning that kind of like wakes up my brain. And then I get up and get in the shower, which is a great time to pray. And I go about my day, you know? And so I think people need to have those kind of daily rituals, you know, like, you know, and I agree with you, you know, people are like, I spend 3 hours a day in the Bible. It's like, wow.
What else did you do for the day? I mean, what,
seriously? God bless you. Well, can you know, in those 3 hours, pray for me because I don't have that kind of time to do that.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's seriously. Yeah. And so I'm so grateful that there are prayer warriors that are out there that are maybe retired or semi-retired or for whatever reason they have the time to commit to the Lord like that, because I look forward to the day when I can. Right now, he's got me on a different square on the chessboard. And so it's not going to happen.
I understand completely. You know,
but if people see that every single day is their Gideon moment.
Yeah.
That's really good. Cool.
It really is good. It really is. You know, it's all about how you look at things and look at life. And I just, I don't know if it wasn't for faith, you know, I tell you, a lot of people don't know this about me. You know, I'm a big needle phobe. I don't like needles. Even though I get vitamin IVs and I can do stitches and all that fun stuff, but that's just not me. But I have some tattoos on my forearms right here, on my wrist right here. And right here, it says faith and says hungry right here. There's the Christian symbol, stay humble, and then family. The reason why I needed that, because I'm simple and I was doing this a lot of my life, like, oh God. And I would always look over here. And it's like, dude, just have faith. That's all you got to have. If you have faith, faith can rule over anything. Faith, love, hope, but you got to have something to stand on. And, you know, I remember talking to a family member a long time ago about this, and it was a very interesting conversation. And my family is very real, just like I am. And you know, what are you going to church all the time? You spending all this money, you donating all this dang old money to your church, man. It's crazy. And you really think this whole Jesus thing is going to shape up and be real? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. And I'm like, but you know what? Here's the deal. If I lived my life according to these values and these morals and did all these things and all these universal principles and lived my life and was good to others and helped other people realize that too, my life was pretty good. And if I'm wrong about, you know, heaven and hell, which we know we're not, at least I lived a really good life. And I said, as an uncle of mine, I said, but you know what? If I'm right and I am, and you're wrong, you're screwed, man. We better go back here and talk a little bit about this whole gospel thing. And next thing you know, he's like, hey, you know what? You're right. He had a Bud Light in his hand whenever he came to the Lord, but it worked out pretty well for him. And it's all after that is all good. So anyway, that's the book of Eric.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for being with us on Happy Hour tonight. Before we close out here tonight, can you put one of your big, strong, powerful prayers across our conversation tonight and bless the people who are listening and people who are going to listen in the future, and just how we can all pray together and have you lead us in that.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you so much for every day that we get the opportunity to share your word, to share your love, and just to be humans. We're so grateful and thankful for the opportunities that we get to serve on whatever level that is. And I just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, giving all of us the opportunity to be together, to be together, whether we're in each other's physical presence or we're virtually together like this. And the millions and millions of people around the world that get to hear this message today, we just thank you so much for blessing them. And I thank you, God, as always, for giving us the mighty words that we need to say, because we know it's all you're doing. We're just big vessels, God. We just know it. We love it. And we're open to this, and we're open to the healing of the world. And we just thank you so much that we can actually see the forest through the trees, and we can see the vision you gave us. That 2020 was the year of 2020 vision, clarity, certainty, purpose, that we can see with clarity how to correct this world. And God, we just thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, give us the words to say and the ability to connect on a level that just that words can't even imagine. And God, I just ask you right now to continue to deliver us and protect us. Put a hedge of protection, God. I thank you for that hedge of protection around Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, around myself, and around all these people that are listening to this word right now. We just thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve, to bless others. And we thank you for using us at such a time as this to be a blessing to the world. And we will never, ever make this about us, God. We will always make this about you. So please continue to bless us, give us strength, give us connections, give us nourishment for our body. We just bless everyone that's listening right now. And we just declare all this in your mighty name, in Jesus's mighty name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, Eric. Oh, that was beautiful and so powerful. How can people get more of Eric Napudi? Where can they find you? Where can they follow you? When they can get your stuff? Where can they do
that? Hopefully they can see me on Happy Hour Dr. T, because that's my favorite place to hang out. So you guys can find me on ericnaputi.com, ericnaputi.com. I'm on Real Talk 93.3 FM. I have a radio program that's global now, 9 a.m. until 11 Central Standard. It's freaking amazing. We got 3+ million people that are following us a day on that. And you can go to realtalkwithdre.com. We're just here to serve. Anything we can do to help, we're all in. So we're everywhere, Sherry, just like you.
So let me get this right. Real Talk With, like spelled out W-I-T-H.
So yeah, I own all the domains. So you could put in realtalkwithdre.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or you could do realtalkwithdrericnaputi.com. Or you could save yourself a lot of hassle and go to ericnaputi.com and find everything there. You can also go to everybodyneedsthis.com. I have a zillion websites. Which one do you want?
I know. Oh, my gosh. I used to laugh about the fact of how many URLs that I own. And people say, why do you have so many URLs? I said, well, they're less expensive and take up less room than shoes.
That's good. That's really good. And you never know when you need We purchased the everybodyneedsthis.com website years ago, and I just didn't know anybody what we would do with it. I just thought it was a cool name. Everybodyneedsthis.com. So I'm like you. I probably own 20 million names.
Oh,
but
I do too. It's so funny. I mean, a lot of them. And sometimes, and some that I've had for a really, really long time. So, and they take up less room and they're less expensive than shoes. Yeah. So, hey, amen. And you never outgrow them. They never go out of style. You know, you don't get fat and can't wear them anymore. You know, Well, Eric, thank you so much for being part of our podcast here tonight at Happy Hour with Dr. T. It's just so great to be here. And this will stay here over here at Happy Hour with Dr. T on this particular Cloud Hub channel. I have two. We have Happy Hour with Dr. T, and there's a separate channel, which is just Dr. Tenpenny, that we do every Monday this week with Dr. T. And we're loading up some of the back ones that are over there, the premium channel, all the deep dives that we do, and the Happy Hour I do on Thursday night here. If you come here live, it's free. And then it gets put over into the premium channel. We're going to be building a lot on the podcast this year. It's one of my number one goals, is to build back what Podbean took away from me and then some. So it's one of my number one goals for 2022, is to bring the best people together for the best interviews, to give you great inspiration and give you great education. So with that, you know, I always close all of my live broadcasts and my pre-recorded broadcasts with one of my absolute favorite verses in the Bible. And I think it's one of my favorite verses because it's universal. It applies to everybody and everything, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. It just applies to everything that we do. So until the next time, remember to lean into God. Trust him for everything, big and small. Like Eric said, he just wants to have a conversation with us. He just wants to, he's a real living being that really wants to know us and have a personal relationship with us. He just wants to have a conversation. And the tougher it gets, the more you need to lean in and trust. So with that, have a great week, everybody. Eric, I know we'll be talking again really super soon. Love you much, brother.
Me too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.